name is Barry Allen. I am the fastest man alive.
RandomChatter.com presents a Flash podcast.
You see that red blur?
Dedicated to the discussion of the Flash television series.
A lot to discuss.
Scarlet Velocity.
Run, Barry, run!
Thanks for slowing down for a moment to listen to Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast. I am your host, Josh.
And I'm Clyde Martin, but I'm, you know, feeling a little under the weather this week.
Ooh, well, I hope you start feeling a little bit better. Maybe you'll get the wind under your sails soon.
That's gay, yeah. That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Clyde, you know what?
Yes.
I usually call you something besides Clyde.
You do?
I do. So
what is
so,
that?
Well, I usually call you Jay.
You know what? That's cool. You can call me Jay for this episode.
Can I call you Jay? Okay.
That'd be
yeah.
Great.
Because, you know, I would like for everyone to know that this is Jay on our official, let's see, episode one, I guess. Not our first episode, but episode one of Scarlet Velocity.
The first official episode, I would say. I mean, the other one was kind of a prologue. Prelude?
Yeah. Well, I don't even want to call it a pilot because this would be the pilot.
Because this is the pilot, right?
Yeah, okay. But this is Scarlet Velocity, where we discuss the CW show, The Flash.
There you go.
And but we did have a previous episode of Scarlet Velocity, and we talked about the 1990 series, The Flash.
Yeah, it wasn't like we weren't discussing The Flash. It just wasn't the CW Flash.
Correct. It wasn't
the
CBS
Flash.
It was UBC The Flash. Was that on ABC? Is that right?
CBS.
CBS, that's right. Okay. Well, anyway. But this is the CW series, The Flash, and I'm very excited to discuss this with you. You know, we have two other podcasts where we discuss superhero shows, too, just for our audience. The Green Justice Arrow podcast, and also Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, where we talk about Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So if you are joining us by listening to those shows, welcome to Scarlet Velocity. And if you're just joining us for the first time, you know, we hope we're entertaining and educational about each episode of The Flash.
We're informative and we're educational. We're eduformative.
Eduformative. That'd be a good – that's our tagline. Our sub tagline.
Okay, I'll make sure I'll put that on all the podcasts now. We're eduformative.
Hashtag eduformative. So, but you know what? So what we're going to do is we're going to tell you a little bit about each episode, give you a synopsis of what it was about, and then we're going to discuss some of the, well, what we would consider the finer points of the episodes.
So I think so. We discover, as we've discovered on doing the Green Justice show on Arrow, you know, a lot of times we sit there and we go, oh, this, you know, this is a pretty straightforward episode. But as you and I start talking about it, we tend to happen on all sorts of other really interesting things that we may not really have noticed on first blush. So we really kind of try to take it down to another level. And the producers and the writers on these shows, at least on the two CW shows here, The Flash and on Arrow, they are comic book fans, and they are crafted the good craftsmen when it comes to writing and putting these shows together. So there's a lot more that happens, and you kind of only discover it on a second or third viewing, I think.
I would say that the writers and producers accommodate our passion for digging deeper into you know, themes and comic book references. And I mean, they do a really good job of showing the dedicated comic book fan, that they really want them to enjoy it.
Right.
So you know what, let's get right into it. The first episode, the pilot episode, why don't you tell us a little bit about this one before we get into talking about it?
All right. So this is season one, episode one. It's just called Pilot. As you know what, every first episode now just seems to be called Pilot. It's really weird. But anyway, that's what they call it.
I wonder if they started a series on like the biblical character Pilot. Wasn't he a biblical character?
Yeah, I believe Pontius Pilate.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be like the Pilot?
Right. It could be.
Okay.
And I think that would be great.
But this is Flash Pilot.
This episode, even though it premiered at San Diego Comic-Con, the first time that the majority of you are probably having seen it, was on October 7th, 2014. That was when the series premiered. It was written by Greg Berlanti, Andrew Kreisberg, and Jeff Johns, familiar names to the superhero universe, directed by David Nutter, who has directed some of the Arrow episodes. And here's, you know, in a few words, here's what the episode was about. His name is Barry Allen, the fastest man alive, TM, and he is going to tell you, the viewer, a.k.a. Oliver Queen, his story. You see, when Barry was a child, he was slow, weak, picked on, and relatively happy with a perfect family that taught him to always do what was right, ironically foreshadowing his future. So, you know, he's such a good little kid, and that's kind of how he grows up to be a good little adult. Then, his mother was killed by a mysterious yellow blur and his father incarcerated for murder. So, Barry was raised by Detective Joe West and his beautiful yet oblivious-to-love daughter, Iris. And he grew up to become a brilliant CSI where he spends his free time trying to discover the answers to the unanswerable, like, where is Bigfoot or who killed his mom?
Or, where did this poop from this tire come from?
Exactly. Yeah, that's true. Well, that is until the night of the Star Labs particle accelerator slash lightning storm, which, coincidentally enough, Josh, occurred the same night as the enchantment under the sea dance and
really?
An incident at the clock tower. Yeah.
Wow. That
it's
is interesting.
It's all tied
I wonder
in together.
That happened. That's
right. That happens all the time.
Yeah.
All the time, over and over and over again. So, Barry was struck by lightning and thrown back into a shelf of chemicals, and he lay unconscious for 9 months, but then awoke with super speed and an impressive set of abs. Now the leftover scientists at Star Labs are helping him discover his powers, giving him some new threads, and helping him stop the equally mysterious Clyde Martin, who can seemingly control the weather since Star Labs' accident. And so it begins.
It does begin. Oh, man. Well, that was a good origin story, I think, you know?
As far as origin stories go, I think this was a great origin story because it doesn't really start at the beginning. It's sort of, it's after the fact, but then there are flashbacks. So, you know, it's not like, oh, you know, Batman's parents were shot and then we see him go and learn and train to be Batman. It's like opening with him being Batman and then we slowly find out how he became Batman throughout the rest of the episode or whatever. So
that's right.
I like these kind of origin stories in terms of just kind of mixing up the timeline a little bit.
I do too. I agree. So before we kind of get into that timeline and all the stuff that goes with it, let's start off with just a bit of news. About the Flash and other things, including Scarlet Velocity, which is we're gonna start off with that on our zero episode. We did mention the wrong Facebook page, so I just wanted to clarify that you should go to facebook.com/Scarlet Velocity Podcast to interact with our community, and you know, make sure you go over there and check out. We try to post news when we hear it. And we also love hearing from the listeners, and, you know, you guys can post stuff over there and comment on some of the things that we're sharing with you. So facebook.com/Scarlet Velocity Podcast is the right one.
Yep. It's a good community over there, and it's always nice to hear what people have to say about the show, about The Flash, the show, as well as our show, Scarlet Velocity. And if you ever forget the address, I'm sure by this point you should be able to just do a search on Facebook or Google or something like that for Scarlet Velocity, and you should find us.
Yeah, yeah. So, and we try to keep up with what's going on, and there's been a lot of stuff over the summer. So even though this is our first show, there's quite a few back posts that you can check out. And some pictures from the set and things like that. So, you know, we speaking of which, we just got a recent announcement about a Rogues Gallery villain from the comics, from Flash Comics.
I was looking forward to this guy.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I've been looking forward to him.
Yeah, Captain Boomerang.
Woohoo!
Yeah, Captain Boomerang. Well, he's going to be played by Nick Taraby. You think he's going to be Australian?
I sure hope so.
I do too. So, but here's the thing: he's not going to be on The Flash.
Oh,
no, he's going to
maybe eventually, but not to start with.
Correct. Right. He's going to appear actually on Arrow. You know, the show that we love, but tends to steal bad guys from other comic books.
And also cast members from Spartacus. Because
yes,
Nick is also a Spartacus alum. I think he's the fourth Spartacus alum to appear on Arrow, which I think is just kind of funny. They're just kind of taking everybody from that show.
You think they just look at like the Spartacus cast list and go, let's see, are they working right now? Oh, no, let's let them do something.
I honestly think they do, probably because that they had either I haven't looked to see if they share a producer or a casting director or something like that.
But it does show you that it is good to know people in Hollywood.
Exactly.
I'm sure. And you know what? They do a great job. They're great on Spartacus, and they're equally great in Arrow. So I'm kind of looking forward to Captain Boomerang. And like you said, I seriously doubt if he would not show up in The Flash.
Oh, I mean, he is a Flash villain. That's just the way that it goes, and they're just teasing. They're messing with us now, man.
Well, that's kind of maybe that's his origin, and then like you said, he'll show up in The Flash and have his powers already, and or whatever he does. It might not be powers,
right.
But
right.
Have his magic boomerangs. So, and I would think Nick Terabay would probably play him in The Flash as well. So,
yes.
At least I hope so. It's a nice little crossover.
Well, we had found out that the Flash has actually only been picked up for 13 episodes, but just prior to the premiere here, the CW did add three more episodes to the Flash's episode list, bringing the total up to 16 episodes. And I would assume after they see the ratings for this episode that they will, probably give them a full season order, which would be 22 or 23 episodes, depending.
Yeah, that's interesting. Just three episodes. That seems like an odd number to increase it to. Is 16 and is that like a standard length?
Well, it's two sets of eight, and eight is sometimes like a half season, like an off season number.
Okay.
So that's always possible.
Also, we have some news about some digital and paper comics. Flash Season 0, number 1, which was a digital comic, and that came out on September 8th. And then it's published every 2 weeks, so number 2 is available on September 22nd. So, and now, have you taken a look at these?
These are great because, and the third one's out now as well on, it just came out earlier this week, right before the premiere on October 6th. They are telling it, so it's kind of before this episode, but also kind of in the middle of this episode because Barry already has his powers.
Yeah, the pilot kind of bounces around.
Right. The way the pilot bounces around is the kind of the way the comics are. It's like he's already got his powers, but he's having to, fight these criminals. So it's got some really cool stuff, and it's written by the producers and the writers of the show. It takes place in the show's universe. So, for example, if you go and buy a Flash comic book at DC Comics right now, mm-hmm. there's the regular Flash comic, which it has its own continuity and is not necessarily related to the TV series. But Flash Season 0 is it's related directly to the show. So whatever they, have happening there is in continuity with the show. So things
and
that they
could
tease or reference.
The story on the show.
Yes.
Probably
yes.
Will affect the story on the show, I would guess.
Right. And they were doing this with Arrow. I think it was during Season 1 they had an Arrow comic that was being published, and it kind of showed what was taking place in between each episode, not directly commenting on the upcoming episode, but giving you cheeses and stuff like that. And they're doing a similar season 2.5 for Arrow.
Yeah, and that's a good one too. So,
right.
And those are only digital, at least right now, correct?
The first one is out in print. It just came out at the beginning of the month.
It is out already. I need to pick that up. I don't have that one yet.
Yeah, and then the second issue and the third issue, they're instead of publishing them, I think, because they were published biweekly digitally, they're publishing them in print, monthly, like they do normal comics. So beginning of November is issue 2 and beginning of December is issue 3. So and they're published by DC Comics, so you should be able to find them there.
Excellent.
In your local comic book store.
I like being able to get the digital comics because I can get so many more and that, I don't necessarily have to keep the copies that aren't as appealing to me, but when they are appealing to me like this, I like being able to get the paper copies too, just as kind of just as a collection, you know.
Yeah, I might wait and see if they because I haven't picked up the paper copies. I was looking at the digital ones, but I might actually see if they collect them in like a mini trade paperback or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard about that yet, but we'll see.
All right. Well, that's exciting, and it ties into the show, so it kind of gives you stuff to do in between episodes. But before you start worrying about in between episode, one and two here, let's talk about episode one.
Very excited. Very excited.
It is. Before we start talking, I will be completely honest. It has been quite a while since I watched any TV show that actually gave me goosebumps as I was watching it. And there's a lot of things that I'm sure we will get into as far as the, how the show is structured. But it starts off with you need to believe in the impossible, you know, and then from that it kind of sets up the entire premise of the show. But I, as a fan of comic books, where there is not, you know, there's things going on that are clearly not realistic. Impossible, and I'm not just, you know, talking about the women superhero characters' costumes. I'm talking about, you know, just, you know, everyday things, you know, aliens and superpowered villains and all kinds of things. And
right.
I like that about comics. But it feels to me like for quite a few years now, the genre of superhero movies and TV shows have really tried to move towards this very realistic probable scenarios of how superheroes could really exist in our world. And,
yeah.
You know, to
more scientific and less
success.
Fantastical, I think.
Yeah. But I kind of miss that idea of, well, this isn't possible. It's more of an escape to me. And so as I was watching The Flash, I'm like, yeah, this is... this is what I'm talking about. It's kind of a realistic feeling show, but you got your completely impossible superpowers. So I'm ready. I'm totally excited about this kind of new, maybe possibly lighter atmosphere in this series.
So you bought right into it. No trepidation there.
Yeah, I did, because it's a superhero show. I don't need to be convinced that it could really happen.
Right. Good. Good.
Am I showing my age? Is that an age thing, or is that just what's
no,
kind of
I mean,
in style right now?
I don't know what the kids think today. You know, who knows? But
we're not the kids anymore, are we?
I'm just happy that it doesn't take itself too seriously. Like you said, it's a little bit lighter. But I mean, I don't think Arrow is super gritty. It's, you know, they both take place in the same shared universe, but Central City is a brighter place where it's going to be a little more fantastical, as we found out, than what Arrow's been. Arrow's, you know, it's kind of as you described, it's a little more realistic.
Yeah.
There isn't anybody with superpowers per se, though they have broached that in their second season. So we'll see what the third season brings with now the fact that the Flash can kind of run back and forth between the two shows.
Well, and Oliver Queen is now officially living in a universe where there is superpowered people. Whether they show up in his city or not, that's to be seen. But, I don't know. Even the writers of Arrow have said, you know, we're trying to kind of stay away from that. At least the first season they did.
Mm-hmm.
And then they kind of worked away into it. But it still seems realistic to me. So this is cool.
Yeah.
So
great.
Let's take a look at kind of the characters in this first episode here. And we'll start, of course, with Barry Allen, who is the Flash, played by Grant Gustin. And now – You've read Flash comics for a long time. You kind of know the history of the Flash. How do you like this character design compared to what we've seen in the comics or anything in the past?
Well, in terms of like the costume or just his personality?
You know, let's start with the costume.
Okay. For me, the costume is a little too maroon, and that's... Like, so I'm going to right out of the gate. I'm like, all right, you know, I'm not liking it. Like it looks good. When you look at it in stills, it looks a little hokey, but the way they've rendered it on the show, and especially when he's, you know, moving really fast, you really don't get a chance to look at it that closely. It's an interesting design. It's utilizing some of the more current New 52 design, which is the, I guess, about two and a half years ago, DC kind of rebooted its entire universe called it the New 52. The design of the lightning bolt is very similar to that. And just in terms of Barry's character, like the way that you know, they have him acting on the show, I enjoy this. As we discussed in our Zero episode where we were talking about John Wesley Shipp's Flash, that Flash was, you know, he was a little goofy, but, you know, he was a beefcake kind of guy. You know, he was just muscled and, you know, very good looking and stuff like that. And Grant has more of that nerdy kind of, you know, he's working CSI stuff in the same way that Barry's always worked, but
and more boyish.
I like the
more boyish.
Yeah,
young.
Well, definitely more boyish. But also, I like the contrast of having Barry be this kind of awkward, geeky, goofy guy that never has quite fit in. He's always late. You know, like that's a great little character piece. It's like this character that's always late, and then he becomes the fastest man alive. But is he going to have to keep up that pretense? You know, like, kind of like when Superman pretends to be Clark Kent, you know, it's like, how does he sell it?
Yeah. I think Barry Allen in the comic books kind of had that, always late kind of thing, at least in some versions of it.
Yeah, it's happening in the current version. I'm trying to remember when I was reading like classic Flash, like the original Flash from the 80s and stuff like that. And mm-hmm. I mean, like Wally West, because any Flash that you do now, I like that they chose Barry Allen, because even though Grant looks more like what I kind of picture as Wally West as a younger sort of character, and John Wesley Shipp fits my ideal of more of the classic Barry Allen character.
Right.
Just in terms of look, I'm glad that they kind of incorporate all instances of the Flash. So, you know, you can say, oh, well, part of this is kind of like Wally West's Flash and, you know, some of his humor and stuff like that. And his origin story is definitely Barry Allen versions and stuff like that. So.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I do like kind of how they've blended it all. The suit itself, like you, I kind of think it should be a little bit more red. And I think they could have gotten away with that because the whole idea was that it was a firefighter suit. That Cisco had designed. And, you know, firefighter suits are more red than that. I mean, they can be.
Sure.
That's the idea. So you can, you know, you can see them. So I think they could have gotten away with that. And it's not smooth like you might see in a comic book. And even the New 52, it's got more of a texture to it. It's got like, it's not all one piece in the new comic book. It all kind of comes together.
It's not like a unitard or a leotard or whatever they call those form-fitting. You know,
tights.
It's not spandex.
It's not spandex, right. And I liked him, yeah, as a character, just the young kind of naive, which makes it, like I said, a little bit more lighthearted, a little more fun. Although the older John Wesley Shipp one, I mean, that was lighthearted and fun too, even though he was a little bit older. So
yeah.
So I do like him.
Like how they have to explain why he's got a suit, like, oh, this was a firefighter suit, like in the 1990s version. It's like, oh, it's a deep sea diving suit. It's like, oh, yeah, we just had a red suit sitting around that looks like your comic. But, you know, it's like in the comics, they never bother to explain why does somebody's suit looks that way, because they're freaking superheroes and they can wear whatever they want. But on TV, like you say, it's got to be a little more realistic. It's got to be based in the real world. So even though, you know, it's I don't think
that
ever
part kind of does need to make sense, especially because he didn't start off by thinking to cover his face, I guess. You know, that was advice from Oliver. But that part kind of does have to make sense, because you're not going to say, I'm going to go save some people. Well, hey, here's some spandex. Let's do it. As a matter of fact, they kind of make a lighthearted joke about that when he's testing his speed out on the, what do you suppose, that like an airstrip, I guess, huh?
A Ferris airstrip.
Oh, there you go. That's right. So, all right. So good. I expect the other thing I kind of like about this character is that there's a lot to explore. So that's what I'm hoping they really do in season one, is just explore this character and keep developing him. And the way you would progress in real life, you know, it's just, one day at a time. You're not going to instantly become this hero, who wasn't on one day at a time, but you know what I mean. So,
you're thinking of Schneider. I understand.
I wish Schneider was the Flash. Maybe there's an alternate universe
Mrs.
somewhere.
Romano.
Where
it's not...
Okay. So while you guys are drawing a picture of that to put on our Facebook page, now let's move on to another character from the comic books. Now this was has always been, you know, Barry Allen's girlfriend slash wife slash anything. Even when Wally West was the official Flash and Barry was supposedly dead, this character was still around as Iris West. Well, I shouldn't say all around, always around, because she wasn't really in the 1990s series much, was she?
She was in the one episode, right? Yeah, they said they were going to put her on, and then they wrote her out.
Right.
But in the comic books, like, you're correct. She is a staple. Like, when you talk about the Flash, in the same way that you talk about Superman and Lois Lane, or, you know, Green Arrow and Black Canary, when you talk about the Flash, Iris West.
Right.
That's just, those go together.
Although she doesn't have the same letter for her first and last name.
Right.
So I wonder
if
she didn't get
of that.
Along with the other superhero girlfriends. but, you know, in the comics, am I right? She's the aunt of Wally West?
I believe that is correct.
I think that's right, too.
Book,
so
yes.
So there's, you know, there's possibilities there. Now, she is, a little bit different than the comics Iris, whereas she is, she grew up with Barry. And then once his parents were, or not his parents, but once his mom was killed and his dad was in jail, she was like a sister to Barry because her dad raised him.
Right.
And that's different than the comics.
Yeah, so they're definitely... Barry is obviously drawn to her, and we see that at the beginning of the episode, but then he has his accident, and that jeopardizes the relationship that Barry was looking to have, that Iris, you know, like I said in the opening, she's just kind of oblivious to it. It's like, oh, you're like my brother. It's like kissing my brother.
Great. Yeah.
And you are in the friend zone over here.
It's even worse than the friend zone. It's the sister zone.
Yeah.
That's harder to get out of than the friend zone.
Yeah, I think so. I don't
As
know.
It
I mean,
probably
I never
should
had a sister,
be. But... but now, I don't know. What'd you think? What'd you think about Iris as a character?
She's interesting. It's really early to tell. And she, like you said, she's different enough that... she's going to definitely help the series and be, a foil, you know, for a love interest. She's also a confidant, but we know there's some jeopardy there because, her dad, Joe West, who we'll get to in just a little bit, knows Barry's secret and is like, you can't tell Iris, like, he is so overprotective that, you know, she... you know, can't even be around crime scenes. And it's, you know, it's so, of course, what's going to happen is she's going to get kidnapped in every episode, you know, because the people are going to find out that, you know, she knows Barry or something like that. I hope they don't go that way.
Oh,
but
me too.
It's hard to say where they're going to go with the character because she's just different enough. But I think Candace Patton, who plays her, did a really good job. She is likable. She brings there is some kind of chemistry there. She definitely has a spark on screen with Grant Gustin, and unfortunately. After the 9 months that Barry's been in the coma here, he finds out that she is now dating Detective Eddie Thawne. So that is that's a little heartbreaking. Is that the part that gave you the chills that you were talking about earlier?
The little goosebumps. Yes,
yeah.
I had to hug my pillow extra tight as I started crying.
Oh, poor Barry.
Yeah, well, and that has some potential shocking scenes in the future, depending on where old Detective Eddie goes.
Yes, yes, and well, let's talk more about that when we get down.
I'm just teasing.
I know. I just want to. I want to talk about it all.
All right. So let's move on to some other other people that Flash is getting some help from. All right. So
okay.
Caitlin Snow is played by Danielle Panabaker. Mm-hmm. All right. Now she is a scientist. Now she'd be considered a scientist, wouldn't she?
Yeah, she's a doctor.
Yeah,
I'm assuming she has a PhD of some kind. Yeah,
And she's had some heartbreaking history from the explosion at Star Labs. She lost her fiancé.
Yes,
she has lost her fiancé. He died in that blast. So
yeah, he died in the blast. So. Also, this is her second or third appearance, because I think it's her second appearance. Didn't both Caitlin and Cisco appear in Arrow season 2 in like the episode 20 or something like
they
that?
They did, yeah. And they helped.
But they weren't in it before.
Helped out Felicity a little bit,
right? But they weren't in a previous. They weren't in the previous two with Barry.
No, because I think it was just that one episode.
Right, because he hadn't met Star Labs people yet.
Correct.
Right, because his accident occurs around mid-season. Okay. So, yeah, so we've met her before, played by Danielle Panabaker. And when we saw her on Arrow, I was like, oh, gosh, she looks really familiar. And that's because she was the superhero with plant powers from the movie Sky High. I don't know if you ever saw that.
I did see that. It's been a while. That was the one with...
Kurt Russell,
who played the dad. Yeah, Kurt Russell. Yeah. Now who the plant powers? Was she one of the good people?
Yeah. So she was. She had like a pink outfit. So there was a kid who could change into a gerbil, and she had the ability to make plants grow. And you know, so she was like sidekick potential. But of course,
that's right.
The story required that she use her plant growing powers for saving everybody.
Good. Well, that was kind of a fun little movie, but
yeah. But it's cool. So she, so she's back in the superhero universe this time as kind of the scientist on the other side of someone who had helped create the superhero and stuff like that. She is a sidekick, I guess, to a degree, but one that can help push Barry. Obviously, she's very pretty. I think that Barry is attracted to her, and there's potential for some romantic interest there as well.
Right. Now, they took a lot of characters from the Flash series from the comic books that, clearly Barry and Iris that we've talked about so far. What about Caitlin Snow? Is she in the comics?
She is. She's not in the Flash comics, but that character, that name is the alternate name for the DC supervillain Killer Frost, who is obviously has cold powers. She looks she's like Icicle Maiden.
So she's not like a hairdresser. That's not why they call her Killer Frost.
No, not at all. but she is primarily a Firestorm, the Nuclear Man villain. So she and Firestorm are kind of like what do you call them? They're antagonists to each other.
Yeah, but they secretly love each other, right?
I think so.
So yeah.
I think
so,
she's hot for him and he's cold for her. So it's kind of, backwards there.
Be a good 80s song. I don't really know too much about Killer Frost from the comics. I've heard of her and I'm sure I've seen her at some point. But they don't do anything by mistake in this series.
Oh, no, they probably just chose... I mean, it's like, oh, Caitlin Snow, that's a great name. They probably just picked it out of a...
yeah, I don't think so.
A book.
but now, just because she's a supervillain, in the comics, doesn't necessarily mean they will take her and make her a villain. But she's got a lot of potential comic story background storyline that they could use here. So I'm kind of interested to see what they do with her.
They have brought many people into the Arrow show that use names from the comic book, but so far are not necessarily the same heroes or villains that they are in the comics. You know, it's another version of that. They're using that name as a template, but then they kind of do their own thing with it, which makes it really interesting for people like me who, you know, if they just told the stories from the comics, it would be interesting, but I don't think it would be as exciting because, I know what's going to happen. I mean, Barry's going to do this, and then he's going to do this, and then there's this character, and, oh, we're doing this storyline, so that's what happens, you know. But when they change it around a little bit, you know, anything's up for grabs. And like you say, she doesn't mean she's going to necessarily be a villain, doesn't mean she's necessarily going to get powers. I will say, however, she was at Star Labs when the explosion went off, so the chance that she was exposed to some of these X particles or negative radiation, whatever the heck they were all saying.
Mm-hmm. And she's still at Star Labs, so even in the future, something could happen too. So,
in the future,
okay. You know, you were saying how they've taken these characters and changed them completely. One really good example of how these writers have done that in a very successful way is Felicity from mm-hmm. Arrow.
Yes.
They took a very minor character there and built her into a huge fan favorite and in season three, a huge storyline plot, I think.
Yeah. Yep.
But so I think she has a lot of potential because she's obviously going to be a big part of Barry's life.
That is true. Yeah. I mean, she's and, you know, she's smart. Obviously, she's got a lot of stuff that she's you know, helping with. She's monitoring. She's kind of the Tina McGee character at this point, from the pilot of the original 1990s Flash. You know, the scientist that's going to help out. I mean, Harrison Wells, who we're going to talk about in a second, also fits that mold. But, you know, this is a female character that's in there for, you know, like I said, love interest as well as plot movement and stuff like that.
That's right. But she can't be the only one that works at Star Labs. This isn't the 1990s Flash where Tina
right.
McGee
there's
is the only
three.
One.
But there's three people that work at Star Labs now.
Yeah, three people. So there's another one who is kind of her partner, I guess. They seem kind of on equal letter. They're kind of like the Grant Imahara, Tori, what's her name from?
Oh, Tori Belleci.
Yeah. From
Mythbusters?
Mythbusters. Wow, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I had Flash on the brain, nothing. But anyway, so her little partner.
Got to check out our Mythbusters podcast. So.
Cisco Ramon, played by Carlos Valdez.
Yes.
Now, he is her lighthearted partner, I will say, at Star Labs.
Yeah, he's sort of the, I don't think he's a doctor. He seems to me more like he's like a lab tech that works with her in her lab. So she's the one that would say, hey, we're going to be working on this project. And he's like, okay. And then she's like, I need you to figure out how to do this, this, and this so we can test these things. You know, she comes up with the ideas and he implements them.
Yeah. And I think you're right about that. They haven't really defined it, at least in this first episode, but I don't think he's like any kind of just an assistant, though. He probably has some kind of credentials or something, because he actually, at least it sounded like he came up with the suit all on his own.
Well, he's come up with the suit. He's got, you know, he says in the episode, he goes, I make all the toys, right? So, I mean, he's some kind of crazy engineer, you know, wunderkind.
That's probably what it is. It's more like an engineer.
Yeah, like he invents that. All this stuff. So, and he seems to be a peer for Barry, or potentially even younger. It's kind of hard to tell. I feel like Caitlin is, she's a little stuffy. She may be a little bit older than Barry, but they probably are peers to a degree. You know, like they would mm-hmm. be within the same high school at the same time or something like that.
Well, and Cisco's character is gonna, you know, he's gonna balance that. That sort of sad backstory from Caitlin, you know, I think that'll be a good balance between the two characters.
Yeah, we didn't get too much of, like, anything about his backstory so far other than just that, you know, he's built this firefighter suit and, hey, Barry, why don't you use this?
Yeah, and then he, you know, kind of digs the cool T-shirts.
Oh, yeah. The I love Cisco's T-shirt. So I was a player of Intellivision growing up, which was the Atari Mattel's alternative to Atari at the time. So he's wearing, he's rocking the Astro Smash t-shirt in this episode, which is really cool.
So now, now again, like I said, let's see, we got Caitlin in the comic universe. She's Killer Frost, and Cisco Ramon is also in the comic universe, although this time on the hero side.
He is the very unfortunately named hero Vibe. so he was named after a you know, early 21st century SUV. So, right?
That's I think so. You know, the feeling you get when you walk in a dance club or something. I don't know.
So he is probably it's an interesting choice because in the late or in the mid 80s, right before DC kind of rebooted their universe, they had created these very stereotypical racial characters to satisfy people who were saying that the Justice League wasn't diverse enough. So they had a black character named Vixen. They had a gypsy character. And then they had this Hispanic character named Vibe. And, I mean, he was also a breakdancer. It was just, I mean, it was really bad. So they killed him off as soon as they could.
You got to crawl there before were a couple you writers walk, even that were in like, the comics universe, when you're coming up
yeah,
with
new
characters.
Yeah, we don't like this guy. So, anyway, he has the ability to create, like, earthquakes, vibrations, or something like that, you know, like channel vibrational waves or something like that. So, similar
to... Also, he's a
really,
really good massage therapist.
Yeah. I think it's similar to the way that the Flash works and can vibrate through, you know, solid objects, except... He doesn't vibrate fast enough to move through the solid objects, but he can he's like his own earthquake machine, basically.
Hmm. Well, you know what? A good opportunity for them to make up for the mistakes they made in this character, so they could maybe make him a little bit more cool.
A little more, yeah, sensitive, I guess, or something. I don't know. So he seems like he's going to be the guy that's always going, oh, this is so cool. And then, you know, they're going to encounter a supervillain with some power, and he's just going to be sitting there like, I can't believe this guy does all this cool stuff. And everyone's like, he's killing people, you know. Then he's like, well, yeah, except for that part.
Yeah.
I can see him being the comic relief.
He even kind of did that in this one a little bit. So,
yeah.
So, okay, so those two, I think, are going to be... strong supporters of Barry as we go through. But like you said, there are three whole people working at Star Lab. So we've,
exactly.
we've tripled the amount of employees from the 1990s Star Lab.
Right.
Dr. Harrison Wells.
Dr. Wheelchair. Yep.
Dr. Wheelchair. Was that his DC persona there? Was that Dr. Wheelchair?
Yeah, well, so I'll just tell people, like, when I was writing up the notes for this, I couldn't remember the names of some of these characters, so, we'll see how these nicknames stick, but, like, because Harrison Wells, it's like, he's not really a DC character. I couldn't remember his name, so I just started, because I needed a placeholder for us to talk about them.
So I'm wondering if he's named after H.G. Wells.
You know, I was thinking about that. It hadn't occurred to me when I had first heard about the name, but then given what was happening in this episode and the fact that he may or may not be a time traveler, Harrison Wells, H.G. Wells. Now, the H is actually for Herbert, I believe, but who knows? I thought that was kind of an interesting coincidence, if anything.
Hey, if you read his books, he could actually be H.G. Wells.
Oh, that would be really interesting. I mean, that would, you know, that would then mean that Superman was in this as well, because Christopher Reeve then ties into it as well in Somewhere in Time or something like that.
I love that movie. Just don't reach in your pocket. Well, he this is maybe I shouldn't say the most mysterious character, but really it is. I mean, we don't know the whole backstory of Caitlin and Cisco yet, but Dr. Harrison Wells here, he's got some secrets that they did tease. So I would say that was a little mysterious. He was the creator, I guess, or at least the designer of the particle accelerator at Star Lab. So This was all his fault, I guess.
It's all his doing, and you know he's a very sympathetic character up until the last minute and a half, and then he is completely suspect. So my question, I mean, I didn't have really any questions on the episode up until the end, but you know he is the one that generates the most questions for me. You know, like, why did he choose to, you know, pay attention to Barry? I mean, they explain it a little bit in the episode that the hospital kept having these power outages, but did he know more that was going to happen before it happened?
Maybe.
So that's why he kind of singled Barry out.
Or maybe he was seeing things after the accident. And then he started noticing things in people that were affected by the accident.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe that's a bit of a stretch because it did seem surprising.
Yeah, does he have powers that we don't know about?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, obviously he's got this thing where he was walking at the beginning of the episode. Like, he functioned normally as far as we could tell at the beginning of the episode. Then the accident happens, and he is confined to the wheelchair. And, you know, he's like, I lost my laboratory. I lost my my project. I've lost the use of my legs. And I don't remember if at the beginning of the episode he was also wearing his glasses. I'm pretty sure he was, like when he was doing the news conference.
Uh-huh.
But the other thing I noticed on a subsequent viewing of the episode is that not only when he goes into the room at the end and he's able to walk, where you're like, holy crud, he also takes his glasses off and just throws them in the chair. Like, mm-hmm. He doesn't need those. Yeah, so like, I think that's a ruse as well.
And he's not Clark Kent, so.
Right.
At least we don't think so.
Right. Oh, my gosh. That would be...
Okay,
kind of insane if they
so
that.
Listen, if you're listening to Scarlet Velocity, you've seen the episode. So you know that at the end, he's looking at some kind of, we don't call them newspapers anymore, and they certainly wouldn't have
like
them in the future.
It's a holographic.
a holographic image from a news website, I guess. I don't know. But
probably.
So he knows stuff. He knows something about the future. How much, we don't know, clearly. But this was the biggest and most obvious setup for future storylines throughout the series.
Wait, you think this is a setup? This is
maybe. I don't know.
I think they showed this. They put this in the pilot so that the executives go, "What does that mean?" And they're like, "Well, I don't know. Better green light our show so you can find out."
If you want to find out. So there was a couple things I thought about this just to try to answer the questions we had, you know.
Okay.
He went into some sort of holographic door back into this strange, Star Trek-y looking chamber.
Braille writing on the wall or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was weird.
For people with really big hands. So, you know, can he walk outside of that chamber? Or is there something special about that chamber? It appeared as if he could. It appeared as if he's just sort of fooling people. And he obviously knows things that nobody else knows. But that was one thing I thought. Maybe there's something special about that chamber.
It could exist in another dimension / time, you know, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe
that is possible.
You know, did he? He knows the future. Did he foresee the cancellation of Ed? It's possible. You know, he might.
It
know
is
that.
Possible. Yeah.
Maybe.
Well,
he,
Tom Cavanaugh,
maybe during the lightning storm, he got a copy of Gray's Sports Almanac, and he's going through time trying to win all the sporting events.
That would be funny. Well, obviously, Tom Cavanaugh was the lead character on Ed, so that is probably what he is best known for. And of course, every time I see him, that's what I think. But now I will totally identify him as Dr. Harrison Wells, where the only other character that kind of hints at me from the comics that this, you know, could be an amalgam of is the character of the Chief from the Metal Men, or excuse me, sorry, the Doom Patrol. The Doom Patrol is kind of an X-Men style comic book from DC, where there's a invisible person and a person that can grow really big and one that can turn into flames and stuff. And the leader is confined to a wheelchair, very much the same way Professor X is in the X-Men. But it's not, there's no time traveling or knowing the future or anything like that. So I have, what's great is I don't know what they're doing with this character, and I think that's totally cool.
Yeah, me too. And Harrison Wells, to my knowledge, was not a character in DC Comics so far, right?
It's not a character I've heard of.
At least the name. The name. This, he could potentially be somebody else, but...
True. And I've got a couple theories, but we'll save that till we get into some of the plot breakdown here in a minute.
Right. So those were kind of the most interesting, most explored characters. So let's run down just a couple other ones real quickly, and then we'll talk about the plot. But there was one, he was in it quite a bit, but not too much to think about right now. That would be, as you say here, I'll let you tell him the name. Joe West, also known as...
Oh, yes. Detective Law and Order.
Yes, of course. Played by
Jesse
O. Martin.
So, I mean, he's only on the show for a decade, so.
He's
still a cop. He's, what's the deal?
Those fans of that show will clearly recognize him, so.
Yeah.
I love
Jesse O. Martin. I think he's a great actor, and I think the show is going to do... I think they can do some really interesting things with him because he's very versatile. As we saw in this episode, I think he did a lot of different types of... acting and stuff. You know, he was stern. You know, he's the father figure for Barry and mm-hmm. actually Iris, you know, because he is her father. But, you know, he can be sympathetic as well.
Yeah, I really thought most of the characters in this episode were very believable and showed some pretty good, acting ability. This is mm-hmm. kind of a wide range, you know, from anywhere from happy to carefree to a little bit sad or tense, you
pleasant.
Know?
Okay.
So he's the overprotective dad. Of course, we said mentioned her that he had raised Barry and his he's father of Iris. Mm-hmm. So he's interesting. He's got a lot of potential, especially because we do find out he knows Barry's secret. But then he has a new partner. His original partner was shot and killed by the bad guy from this episode, by Clyde Martin. Mm-hmm. While Barry was in Tacoma, no, not Tacoma, where was he? Star Lab.
A coma.
Unconscious.
You're thinking of a coma.
Oh, a coma. He was in a coma. Okay. Is that in Washington too?
Yeah.
That's your Starling City. so he's got a new partner, Eddie Thawne. Interesting.
That's a very strange name. Stands out.
Eddie Thawne?
Thawne, it does. Yes.
It does, yeah. Also known as Detective Pretty Boy, who I don't think that's just your nickname. I think that's also what he was called in the show.
Right. Barry, that's what I think. Iris might have mentioned. No, I think it was Barry that called him that, because that's like his nickname that he has in the force or in the department or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah. That's. I think he should. I think he told Iris that that's what her, Joe West calls him. But
Right. Oh, that,
okay,
that's
so,
yeah.
Now. We don't really know much about the character in the show, but
no.
What we do know, like as you kind of pointed out, is the name.
Yes.
Eddie Thawne is not exactly the name we know, but it is close.
Yes. Well, again, Thawne is such a strange name. It's Thawne. Like in my travels of my life, I have never met anyone with a last name Thawne.
No.
But in the DC universe. Eddie Thawne, also known as Eobard Thawne, is the supervillain Reverse Flash, a.k.a. Professor Zoom, a.k.a. I don't know, he's got a couple different aliases, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that is very interesting because obviously Reverse Flash is the number one nemesis, I think, for the Flash, at least in the current iterations of the comic.
Now, he always runs backwards. Is that how that...
Yes, he always runs backwards. No,
Reverse Flash.
I think it's I'm not going to go there. Anyway, so it's the first episode. I got to ease people into this.
Oh, okay.
but he's the in the comics, the character is a huge fan of the Flash from the future. And he grew up like hearing about the exploits of the Flash, and so much of a fan that he wanted to become the Flash and figured out a way to recreate the accident that gave Barry his powers. But then he got a little crazy and decided to go back in time to destroy Barry so that he could be the, you know, the real Flash. And he sort of takes the term reverse Flash because
what a diva.
Yeah, yeah. He's psycho. I mean, he really is crazy in the comics, and so it'll be interesting to see what they do with this character. I have a sneaking suspicion, and the first time I watched the episode, and when I heard about the fact that they were putting this character on, I was like, and of course, with Barry's story that he tells it in Arrow, season two. But he also retells it, and we get to see the incident that he talks about when his mom was killed. You know, we see this yellow blur and everything there, which is typical of Reverse Flash's costume. So when they talk about the story, and then we find out there's a character with the last name of Thawn, I'm like, oh my gosh, they're doing Reverse Flash here. It's so obvious. But now as I've watched the episode again, and I've kind of thought about it, I'm thinking, you know what? It's too obvious, and they're going to pull a switcheroo on us. I've gone through so many different.
It's possible.
Theories with this.
It's possible. I don't know. I did too, and I want to save that discussion so for when they kind of focus on that character more. But very interesting idea. I also have a suspicion that we may not see that this season. They might not explore that character this season. But we'll have to see. Now, real quickly, you say Thawn is not a very common name, and you have never come anybody across. How about Eobard? You ever come across that one?
I have never heard of anyone named Eobard.
Oh, okay. Darn. Looking forward to that.
I think the closest I've come is E-Bomb. But E-bomb. That's a website, so E-bomb's world. So.
That's right. Okay, now, one more I want to talk about. I was very excited about this, well, at least as we get into it, because this will be a recurring character, is Barry's dad, Henry Allen.
Yay!
And he is played by John Wesley Shipp, who played, you know, Barry Allen, you know, in the Flash series, the short-lived but very awesome 1990 series.
That's so cool.
How awesome is that they've incorporated him into this series?
The meta level of the show, you know, just took a step up. I mean, we talk about their meta humans, but you know, John Wesley Shipp is, you know, old enough to be Grant Gustin's father, and he was originally Flash, and that's in the comic books. You know, Flash is always handed down from kind of one person to another. So the fact that he's on the show, but he's not Flash anymore, it's very much like Barry Allen meeting Jay Garrick, who was the original Flash in the comics. So there's so many different levels on this. It's awesome, and it's great to see the fact that Berlanti and Kreisberg and Johns are, you know, fans of comics enough and of the 1990 show that they wanted to include Shipp in this as well.
And I was really impressed with his performance as Barry's dad. It was kind of touching, you know?
Man, the end scene at the jail, I mean, if you don't, like, well up a little bit when Barry's talking to his dad and, you know, just where Barry's continuing to say, you know, I know you didn't do it, Dad. And his dad's like, it's okay. And Barry's like, no, seriously, I know you didn't do it. And it's just, it's heartbreaking.
It is.
Because it's been, 10, 20 years probably.
I don't know what they mentioned. It's probably not quite 20. Because he was like, he was 11 when it happened, I think. At least he implies that. He says he's been calling me Slugger since I was 11.
Okay.
And you know, I would say that Barry in this show is probably in his 20s, maybe late 20s.
I'm thinking, mid to late 20s. So, okay, so maybe 15 to 18 years.
Hey, still
like
a long time.
Yeah.
One thing I did want to say about him, you know, I think it's great that he's in. Man, he looks different. It doesn't feel like it's been that long, but he looks a lot different than he did in the Flash series. So
It's been 24 years since that series, Josh.
I know. I look a lot different than I did, too. But
it's a quarter of a decade, man. That'll put a lot of miles on people. So.
Well, I
mean,
get
he's
it.
Still totally recognizable.
It was just a little surprising to me.
Yeah.
Robert Redford never changed.
And Dick Clark, up until he died, he looked fine.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So even after a little bit, but. So that's cool that he's on it. And you know what? And maybe we should put this in the news, but the producers have said that they would like to have everybody that was on the original 90s series in this series. So great. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah. They've already announced that Tina McGee, Amanda Pays, will be returning as Tina McGee as the same character even. So how cool is that?
It is. It can't be exactly.
I mean, I know you weren't
character.
A huge fan.
She's
got to
be the same name because she may actually the same character. Wouldn't that be cool?
Like
yeah. She knew another Barry Allen in the past, and she knew about him in the Flash. Ooh, that'd be interesting.
I think it'd be great just to see a bunch of the, you know, some of the other characters, some of the other actors, not necessarily playing the same character, but just, you know. Coming in for a cameo, it's just a great nod. It would be like if there was a new Batman TV show, having them, you know, having Adam West show up or mm-hmm. Burt Ward or somebody like
Adam
that.
Adam West sitting there drinking coffee with Michael Keaton, while Val
Kristen
Kilmer's
Bale
serving
screaming
them.
At him. So
okay, right. So now I know that this is our first episode, so we're you know it's a little bit longer because we have to set everything up for the series. But I do want to just talk about a couple quick things before we start wrapping up here. You know, Barry's mom gets killed in the beginning, which is clearly a major plot point for the entire series and for
yes.
the development of the character of Barry. But we don't have any idea what happened to her. So what exactly are we seeing when she is killed?
Well, so we first heard the story, like I said earlier, back in Arrow Season 2, Episode 8, called The Scientist, where Barry kind of related how his mother died, that there was this whirlwind. So, you know, it appears to me that we are looking at a super speed human, you know, racing around his mom. There's a yellow blur that is very similar to the red blur that we see when Barry's running. But also there is red blur mixed in with that as well, which I find, you know, at first I thought it's just a yellow character running around, but then like, why would they be running around the mom sitting in the middle of this room? Like if you had super speed, you go in, you take care of somebody, you don't just run around, right? So what is this red blur that we're seeing as well? So I think there is some – I think they have done a lot of foreshadowing. And my question back to you is – and I don't know if – you know, maybe we should actually leave this up to people in the audience to write into us about either on Facebook or via email. But as a fan, like I know what they're – I know what happened in the comics. I know what happened to Nora Allen and Barry and, you know, these characters and stuff like that. And I'm wondering if people don't know what happened in the comics, if that changes the way people view this, because it's still very mysterious. But I feel like I know what's going to happen. But I also feel like the producers and the writers know I know what's going to happen, so I feel like they're going to change it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I think that, you know, I personally think that we're seeing, you know, some other speedster, possibly Reverse Flash, probably Reverse Flash. But we're also seeing Barry from the future interacting with Reverse Flash, trying to save his mom. Like, he's come back in time to save his mom. And then, you know, obviously at this point he couldn't do it because that's what happened. Time travel gets crazy if that's really what's going on. But
I totally agree with you that he is part of that. And I think they foreshadowed that when they showed the, futuristic newspaper/website hologram, that he's going to have some future thing. As a matter of fact, it even said that Flash had disappeared. Maybe this is where he had disappeared. Maybe that's part of it too.
Interesting.
You know, as also as part of that, what you were saying is, I'm wondering, did Barry save himself in that part? Did he take him away? So was, you know, he was all part of that, and did he do something? Or did it have something to do with his dad? What exactly happened to his dad? What evidence did they have against his dad? I mean, just because he was the only one there? Because we don't even know how she died yet.
Right. That's true. Yeah, she's just dead in the middle of the floor.
Yes. So. But I'm wondering, with this whole kind of storyline, I think that this particular storyline is going to be resolved by the end of season one. Or it'll at least give us some answers as to who it was. I don't think they'll drag this out forever. At least I kind of hope they don't.
Right. I agree with you there. I think that I'm going to say that it's going to be resolved earlier than that. I think it's going to be resolved closer to the middle of the season. Or at least we will know enough about it that what we're talking about now is not really a mystery, but it will lead to more mystery. Like, well, okay, well, if that happened, then why this or why that?
Right.
Because just in interviews, Greg Berlanti, one of the producers and showrunner, you know, he's been talking about sitting in writing meetings, and he's like, okay, I got this great idea for, you know, the end of season one. And, you know, his mentor is like, that's great. Okay. So put that in the middle of the season. So like, basically they're working to like move everything up. Like if they think this is a good, fourth act piece for a show, they move it up and they put it in the teaser. Like, don't waste the time on the show. You never know what you're going to get. And it always encourages you to get more out of the show.
That's true.
So rather than teasing stuff out for 3, 4, 5, 6 episodes.
Yeah. Like, and we've seen that on other shows that took too long.
It could be answered next week for all we know. Now, you did mention one thing. Did Barry save himself? I just want to throw this out there because I thought that too for a little bit. Once I realized, wait a second, there's not just a yellow blur, there's a red blur. Did Barry save himself? I went back and I watched the shot of the kid being dropped off on the street, you know, blocks away from his house. It is only a yellow costume. So, but, you know, again, that makes me think, like, why would someone who came back in time to kill, or okay, we're introducing the concept of time travel here because that's what we know kind of happens. But why would a speedster like move a kid out of the way to then kill the mom? Like, why not just kill the mom in front of the kid? Like, if you really want to traumatize somebody, wouldn't you do that? So either there's something else going on, and the yellow speedster, who is the bad guy, moved Barry for some other reason, or they are pulling a bait and switch on us, and the Flash is actually wearing yellow at this point, and Reverse Flash is wearing red for some reason.
That could be. Let me briefly get paradoxical on you, but how about this? If the yellow speedster was the bad guy, if he doesn't save Barry, Barry doesn't become the Flash, maybe he doesn't get his powers either.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you know, like I said, time travel.
Yeah. All right. So obviously lots more to talk about with that. And I'm sure that there will be several episodes where we do that. Let's talk about, I'm going to say this week's villain, and I hope I don't have to say that very often this season. I hope we don't have a villain of the week. But you got to start somewhere. And we're going to go ahead and call him the Weather Wizard.
Yes.
But they never say that.
No.
His name is actually Clyde Martin, and he's one of two brothers who the police call the Martin brothers.
Right, and the other one is never identified by name, just that there's Clyde and his brother.
Mm-hmm. Now, in
and
the comics,
I think Clyde is the one, you know, he's responsible for making the right turns, you know, right turn Clyde, and that's a any which way you can reference there, just in case you're keep track at home.
I just want to get my little finger in a gun shape and shoot an orangutan. So let's talk about that really quickly in the comic. Now, the Weather Wizard in the comics does not actually have weather powers. Well, at least in the original version.
It, Yeah, the original instance of the character is he's got a weather wand.
Yes, I believe him a wizard. Wand, I believe. Also, coincidentally
enough,
you're
a wizard, Harry.
I think that weather wizard in the comics was in Ravenclaw. I think. I could be wrong about that, but
I don't know.
Might have been Hufflepuff. Okay, so that's why I want to talk about this real quick, is because in the comics, Weather Wizard is not named Clyde Martin.
No. He is named Mark Martin.
Yeah. So what if, here's my little theory here, and in the end, by the way, in the end of the show, you know, he gets shot and seemingly killed. I guess they...
Yeah, we're going to assume killed.
Yeah.
But again,
which is a horrible thing to assume in any superhero.
Right. If you listen to our Arrow show, never assume that, because it's like, oh, he's dead and he'll be back in three episodes.
Right. But what if his brother was Mark Martin, and that is who becomes ultimately the Weather Wizard, has some sort of similar type, either powers or abilities.
Right, because they were both in the same place when the particle accelerator ring struck them, so... Mm-hmm.
Did they ever show his brother? Did they ever show his brother's?
No, we never saw his brother. Well, no, we never saw his brother. We saw him just, like, the plane was moving, and he was in the plane, but we never saw who it was.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that, you know, bringing the brother back who has similar powers would be a great way to go. You've obviously got the revenge angle. You get to use the same, you know, kind of effects and stuff like that, plus... Mm-hmm. You have a character who at that point will then know that there's this Flash character and he can go, and I'm called the Weather Wizard, you know, and do all sorts of goofy stuff like that. So,
all right. So let's kind of wrap it up here. You know, I just real briefly, I really loved the connection to Arrow, which I think probably was originally intended because this was going to be an Arrow episode or at least something.
Yeah, it was going to be episode 20, I think. Yeah. In Arrow, but they got their own pilot, so.
Uh-huh. And I like the interaction between the two of them, and I like the slight humor when, you know, they both refer to each other as cool.
Yes.
Thought that was cool.
That was great.
I really like this, the balance of humor in the show. For like we talked about, Cisco's real excited, positive attitude. It feels like a much lighter show than we see a lot. Than, you know, like Gotham is starting up here, and that looks like a real dark show, of course. And even Arrow, you know, which has its lighthearted moments for sure, which I enjoy. It even seems a little bit lighter than that.
The show actually looks lighter too, because like Arrow is really just dark. It's a lot of it takes place at night. I feel like Flash is going to take place a lot during the day.
Yeah, I think so. I like some of the fun one-liners that we saw in this, when he was in Star Labs and he's leaving, kind of storms out in a, can I keep the sweatshirt? Yeah, and even Tom Cavanaugh's reply, yeah, keep the sweatshirt.
That was exactly. Good. It's good.
Cisco's attitude, you know, Caitlin asks at the end, why is it shaped like a lightning bolt? So it's not boring. You know, so that's kind of shows you what kind of thing. Which even in the comics, Flash is a much lighter character than say Green Arrow and definitely Batman.
He's a jokey character in the comics, which is what I like that about him a lot, because he really lightens the mood, especially in like the group comics where, you know, Batman's like, and Flash is like, lighten up, bats.
Kind of feeling. I guess you'd say atmosphere to a TV show. I don't know if that's the right word, but
sounds good.
I did. I got all tingly when, especially when I saw him running. The effects that they used for him running, he looked like he was running fast. I liked that a lot. And just
the effects look great.
The smile that he gets, you know, when he realizes he can run, and so I'm really enjoying it. And of course, the ending, they just blow us away with a huh?
Yeah. That it was out of nowhere. I mean, and you know, like we've said, he's looking at this newspaper from basically 10 years in the future, from April 25th of 2024. You know, and it says that the Flash has disappeared in a crisis, and I think they capitalized the word crisis. It's very much a reference, I think, to the Crisis on Infinite Earths, which was a very, very important moment for the Flash in comics. And what makes me think that they're not just talking about crisis in the lowercase C version, meaning like a very tense situation, is the fact they say there's another headline that says Red Skies Disappear. And the red skies were something that appeared during the merging of these universes in the Crisis on Infinite Earths. So,
And just a shocking reveal that Dr. Wells can walk. He can clearly see.
Yeah.
Maybe you know what? Maybe he's just like nearsighted. Maybe he can only see. He just took him off because he was going to look up at some.
Oh, of course, that's probably what it is.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
So who is this guy? You know, that's the question.
Right, and it's great that we've got a character. Like, so as we've talked about, you know, we know a lot about Barry. We know a lot about Iris. We know a lot about what we think we know about these other characters, potentially this villain and stuff like this. You know, Reverse Flash being the same name as the detective. But my thought is that, wait a second, if Harrison Wells is the time traveler, is potentially he going to be Reverse Flash? And wouldn't that be an interesting switch?
Yeah.
Because he's the one that's helping Barry get up to
Eddie Thawne.
Maybe.
Maybe he's a distant relative, you know?
But he's the one that helps Barry get up to speed, so to speak. You know, so he helps create Barry, but wouldn't it be interesting if he's also the one that created Barry initially and wants to destroy him eventually?
Mm.
Interesting. You know,
good storyline, though. So
who knows? Yeah.
So we're looking forward to kind of seeing where that goes and play out, and let's not do it in 1 week. Let's stretch this storyline out a little bit.
Oh, I want them to answer it next week because they'll come up with 20 other storylines that are equally as compelling.
Based on what we've seen from this group of writers and producers, I got to agree with you.
Yeah. Hey, and I want to do just a quick thing at the end of the show here because I know we've done this on our Arrow podcast. I think it was at the end of the second season or sometime in there, we were like, wait, how many people do know that Oliver Queen is the Arrow? And we had quite a big list, but that was after 2 years. First episode, how many people know that Barry's the Flash?
All right, let's see. Well, let's say Dr. Harrison Wells, he knows.
Yes.
Right.
And then Dr. Caitlin Snow.
Okay, yeah, she does.
And Cisco.
Oh, and Cisco, right.
Because they're all working together.
Now Oliver knows. Has he
Oliver
told
Queen
him?
Knows. And then at the end of the episode, Iris's dad, Joe West, finds out.
Okay.
So that's right. Five people right
five
there.
Five people. Now,
one episode, five people.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. So,
and there's
we'll
potential
see where that
for
goes
other
from
people
there.
To find out. Felicity, for example, I'm sure she's going to find out.
There is a crossover with her coming up, and potentially, you know, it's like, because as soon as people find out that, like if Felicity finds out, everybody's going to know. You know, she can't keep.
What's she
going
to do? Like tweet it? Hey, remember my friend Barry?
Yeah, look at these abs.
So all right. So well, okay. We're at the end of the show, but one thing that we like to do on all our superhero podcasts is share with you any comic book references that were played in this episode, or even just subtly referenced in the background. So there's quite a long list, so we'll just kind of go through these real quick. Why don't you tell us what we saw in the pilot episode of The Flash?
Okay, so we've touched on a lot of these already. So, like, let me run down the ones we already touched on. So we got Star Labs, we've got the Crisis on Infinite Earths. The newspaper also had a headline that said Wayne Tech and Queen Inc. merger complete. We've got the Reverse Flash. We've got the airstrip they were running on, which was for Ferris Air. That was that's a reference to Green Lantern's girlfriend, Ferris. Kate Ferris? No.
Kelly Ferris?
Carol Ferris.
Carol That's Ferris, yeah. Ferris
right.
Bueller. Okay.
And then there was a cage in Star Labs that was labeled Grodd. And was obviously like a gorilla cage that was rent open and there was no animal inside. So Gorilla Grodd is a Flash villain.
Important Flash villain.
Yeah, a talking ape. We've got Keystone City was mentioned. That's where Detective Eddie was transferred from. Starling City was mentioned. Obviously, that's where Arrow is from. And it's 600 miles from Central City. So that's what we find out in this episode. Iron Heights Prison made an appearance. That's the prison that gets used by people in Starling City and Central City, which is kind of interesting that both, you know, like... Henry Allen would be put in Iron Heights because I always felt it was closer to Starling City, but if it's 600 miles away, that's a long way to put someone. But maybe it's a federal penitentiary.
Maybe. Now, what I think is interesting between Starling City and Central City, there's a lot of like burned jackets just yes. laying on the side of the road.
That's it's like shoes wrapped around telephone yeah, poles yeah. and stuff like that. What does
hey,
that
where'd
mean?
That burn jacket come from?
Yeah. They also mentioned metahumans, which is something that they talk about in – that's how they refer to these characters in the DC universe. And then Linda Park, who is Wally West's girlfriend, was also mentioned in this episode. So,
yeah, she's the reporter.
Lots of cool little nods.
Wow, that's a lot. And that was just in the first episode. So I'm looking forward to lots of them being slipped in there for us to search. So
exactly. And as a special bonus for listeners of this podcast, we have a comparison of the Comic-Con screened episode with the episode that actually aired this week on the CW, and those are available exclusively at randomchatter.com. you'll see a like a side-by-side comparison of some changes that were made between the two episodes. So stop by and check out these exclusive images comparing the two versions and see what has changed, because we think you'll be surprised.
I love stuff like this. I went through shot-by-shot with the Star Wars Special Edition when they made changes, and this reminded me a lot of that.
Very much so.
Yeah, for example, there was on Dr. Wells' computer when they were kind of testing Barry there was a logo, a Lenovo logo on his computer, and they've just replaced that. They just changed it to a Star Labs logo.
Very cool.
Yeah, that is very cool.
All sorts of neat stuff like that.
Yeah, and even like the story, there was a story on the TV news mm-hmm. that was changed from Red Streak Saves Family with kind of a burned out building, right? And mm-hmm. it was changed completely to the mysterious Tornado Rex Farm.
Yeah, so those are a couple of the ones that are a little more obvious, and I think people will be surprised at what else they did to this episode. So stop by randomchatter.com and check it out.
Well, that was a fantastic first episode. Lots to talk about, and there's going to be more all season long. But Jay and I have to run.
Hey, if you enjoyed this episode, though, please be sure to leave us feedback on iTunes, which we should be searchable for now. You can also contact us by email at scarletvelocity@randomchatter.com. We'd love to hear your thoughts or, you know, any ideas that you have on what may be happening with the characters. Or you can tweet us with that information at Scarlet Velocity, or visit the community of that we've set up on Facebook at facebook.com/Scarlet Velocity Podcast.
You can also check out our other shows, Green Justice, an Arrow podcast, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files at randomchatter.com. Also, all shows are available in the iTunes Store and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. So, of course, if you enjoy this podcast, please, please be sure to tell all your friends about it. And remember, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it. This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for The Flash can be found at www.cwtv.com. The Flash and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.